The processional hymn 547. Approach my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. Welcome to our service on this third Sunday in the penitential season of Lent. We follow the order of morning prayer, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by following his laws, which he set before us. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. On page 118, the Canticle Vanity, verses 1 to 7.
sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him. His pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be.
Page 660, the psalm appointed for this morning is number 63, verses 1 to 9. The first 9 verses of Psalm 63 on page 660.
Upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory. Your loving kindness is better than life itself, and so my lips shall praise you. I will bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my helper, and
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. On page 127, the traditional form of the canticle, Te Deum, part 3. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, For 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig round it and put more manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." On page 130, the canticle, "Saviour of the World."
Jesus, Saviour of the world, come to us in your mercy. We look to you to save and help us. By your cross and your life laid down, you set your people free. We look to you to save and help us. When they were ready to perish, you saved your disciples. Yourself known as our Savior and mighty deliverer. Save and help us that we may praise you. Amen. Lord Christ Jesus, hear our prayer and be with us always. And when you
Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the King. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let the servant shout for joy.
O Lord, Save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, make clean our hearts within us. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we join in the first and second collects at morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all thy service. We, trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Prayer for ourselves in this group of parishes, that we may truly strive to be what we profess to be. We pray too for David, our bishop, and also Tullycarnock Church and its leader, Matthew Galt. Son of Man, our Saviour, we remember that your sternest judgments were reserved for the religious people of your day because they failed to live up to their profession. Forbid it, Lord, that we, who so often and so readily take your name upon our lips, should come under the same condemnation. Help us in this season of Lent to search our hearts and examine our lives, and to have done with all hypocrisy and pretense. May we be what we seem to be, putting our creed into practice and bearing a witness before others that will be to your honor. In your name, we ask it. And we pray that we may deny ourselves in our discipleship. Lord Christ, who for love of our souls chose the costliest following of the Father's will, forgive us, who having so often followed the easy path of selfish desire, set your law of sacrifice within our hearts, that we may be ready to deny ourselves and to walk courageously in your steps, our crucified Redeemer, who lives and reigns in the glory of the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forevermore. And we pray for those in positions of responsibility. Bless, O Lord, Charles, our King, our Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, the Secretary of State, Hilary Benn, and all those who bear office under the Crown. The First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister Emma Little Pengelly, and the Executive, all Members of Parliament and the Assembly. Also President Michael D. Higgins, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste Simon Harris, and the Government in the Republic, and strengthen them in their great responsibilities. Put far from them any cheap desire for personal gain or party advantage. Unite them in seeking the safety, honor, and welfare of our King and country. May they not conduct their debates or reach their decisions relying upon their own frail human wisdom, but upon that which comes to all who seek to follow you and to walk in your ways, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. a prayer for all victims of the continuing conflict in Israel, Gaza, and Ukraine, and other places where there is division and unrest. Lord of compassion and power, be with those who have survived these conflicts and minister to their needs of body, mind, and spirit. Heal and help those who are injured. Give peace to the dying, comfort and support to the bereaved. To all who are working to bring relief and restore order, give strength and resilience to do their work well, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray for the young people of our church and parish. Father, you have entrusted to our care the children of your church and have charged us to guide and train them in the way of Christ. Help us to be faithful to our trust, both in our teaching and in our prayers, that our boys and girls may grow up in the knowledge of your love, to worship and serve you all their days as members of your family, to the honor and glory of your name. And we pray for safety on our roads. O God, who has taught us to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves, give us and to all who use the roads, whether to drive, to ride, or to walk, consideration and care for others, that death and injury may be caused to no one, and that all who travel may go in safety, peace, and joy, through him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for all who are sick or are recovering from sickness. In particular, we continue to pray for the recovery of the King, and also Pope Francis, and any personally known to us. Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick. Help them to know your love, that they may seek strength from you and find peace and healing in your presence, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We join in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn number 606, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Desire to worship you.
words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from this morning's New Testament reading, St. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. On a wall of a building where Jews hid to try to escape the Nazi persecution were scratched the words, I believe in God, even when he is silent. It was a declaration, an astonishing declaration of faith, that despite the overwhelming evidence against God, the writer still believed. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, Jesus responds to those who would have questions about the suffering of innocent people, to those who would have a question about why the world is unfair, why it is unjust. Jesus responds, but his response is one that asks more questions. He asks about people from Galilee, people at Siloam, and people in Jerusalem. In St. Luke chapter 13, verse 1, we read of the killing of Galilean people by Pilate, a merciless murderer of people who were taking part in their religious rituals. All that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. The people cannot understand what has happened. Why should devout people have died a horrible death? In their understanding of God, good people received their reward in this lifetime, while evil people were punished. If Pilate had killed these people at the very time they were making their sacrifices to God, what did it say about the people? Were they sinners? In the second verse, Jesus asks those who have come to him, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? The people's reaction would have been obvious from their question. These people were not bad people. But Jesus does not explain why they have suffered. Instead, he says in verse 3, now I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. The only response is to look beyond this life. Galilee for Jesus' friends meant home and safety. It meant a place where they might go to escape from the horrors they might encounter. If we read St. John chapter 21, we see that the fishermen have gone back to Galilee and the risen Jesus finds them there. Galileans have suffered, and their suffering seems to say that no place is safe from tears for them or for us. When we experience personal grief, Jesus would not attempt to explain, only point us to the life to come. ordinary lives are not immune from tragedy. And nor do we know when that tragedy might strike. In verse 4, Jesus talks about those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. There has been a tragedy about which everyone has heard. A crowd of people have been gathered, and one of the towers in the city walls has collapsed, crushing 18 of those who were there. It has happened at a moment when people have not expected tragedy. It has happened at a time when people were probably expecting something very different. If we read St. John chapter 9 and verse 11, the story of the healing of the man born blind, we see the man telling his listeners what had happened. The man called Jesus, made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, "Go to Siloam and wash." Then I went and washed and received my sight. The pool of Siloam was a place of healing. It was a place where people might have expected moments when life improved, not moments when it came to a sudden and tragic end. The deaths in Siloam are sudden and without meaning. There is no explanation for such times. The tower has stood for many years. For many years, it has stood above countless crowds of people. There is no reason why it should suddenly collapse at that moment when 18 people cannot escape from the falling rubble. Jesus does not explain the disaster. The falling tower is a reminder that life is unpredictable, that sometimes things are arbitrary, not amenable to any of our human reasoning. We do not know when things might happen. Life should be lived in an expectancy of the unexpected. Jesus asks those around him in verse 4 about those who had died at Siloam. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? Of course they were not. We do not know when tragedy might happen. Jerusalem is the holy city. It is the place of pilgrimage for all of the Jewish people. The name of Jerusalem had meant the foundation of Shalem in the days when it was captured by the Israelites. It was easy for them to reinterpret its meaning so that it meant the city of Shalom, the city of peace. But Jerusalem has gone very far from being a city of peace. Later in chapter 13, Jesus looks down on the city and in verse 34 says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus knows that the place of holiness has become a place of grief, but he does not explain why the innocent people at Siloam should suffer, while guilty people in Jerusalem prosper. He simply says of those who died at Siloam in verse 5, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Yes, there are often moments in life when we look for an explanation of suffering. There are often times when we might ask why ordinary people go through tragedy. Oftentimes when we might ask why something happened at that time, why something happened at that place. There must be times when we wonder why it was not someone else at a different time and in a different place, why it did not happen to someone who we think might have deserved it. But Jesus does not answer us. Our hope is in repentance and in a life to come. In this world, there seem no answers. Like the person fleeing the Nazis, we have to say, I believe in God, even when he is silent. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due, all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion, from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, number 10, All My Hope on God is Founded.
Renew me through change and transfiguration.
Let us pray. Unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace, this day and always. On Tuesday evening, there will be a meeting of the Wednesday Club Committee at 8 o'clock, and that will take place in Patricia Halliday's home. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the Bowling Club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. Sunday next is Mothering Sunday. There will be family service at 10 o'clock, followed by light refreshments in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. And the loose collection next Sunday will be in favour of the Mothers Union Make a Mother's Day Appeal. Sorry? I didn't know. So what? I believe there's Mother's Union tomorrow night. Gospel according to Patricia. Okay, thank you. On not tomorrow, but the following Monday night, the 31st of March, there will be the annual Easter General Vestry meeting in the hall at 8 o'clock. That's the meeting at which the past year in the parish is reviewed and elections take place for the offices and select vestry for the coming year. While only registered vestry persons may vote and or stand for office, attendance is open to all parishioners. And I do encourage you to come. The recessional hymn, 646, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Fear of want remove.
Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord.